You're listening to community-supported radio, KBOO Portland. It's our membership drive time. Every donation made today will be matched dollar for dollar by art supporter Ronnie S. LaCroute at kbu.fm/give. No one's at the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Support KBOO now with your donation, and it will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 until September 20th, thanks to the Ronnie S. LaCroute Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. Go now to kbu.fm/give or mail a contribution to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Thank you, Ronnie, and thank you for supporting KBOO. I'm Dime Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to music by Portland composer and musician Gerardo Calderon. Hear his music at gcgarts.com. Gerardo is part of a two-night live stream event by a collective of artists, performers, and writers called The Immigrant Story. On September 12th at 7 p.m., you can hear five Latinx immigrant storytellers telling stories about what it's like to be undocumented or formerly undocumented in America. And then on September 17th at 7 p.m., Gerardo Calderon will perform a concert with his ensemble. Both events are being broadcast from St. Andrew Lutheran Church in Beaverton, and it will be live streamed on YouTube and Facebook via the Immigrant Story page. Gerardo Calderon is a composer, producer, and multi-instrumentalist. He was born in Mexico City and he studied classical guitar there. Before he discovered traditional Mexican music, he studied music therapy at Merrillhurst College and has been a respected musician in Portland for a very long time. I now welcome Gerardo Calderon to Stage and Studio. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you, May. You know, thanks for inviting me.
Via Zoom.
But, you know, we are seeing each other, which is great, you know.
We have met each other, yeah. I think the first time we met each other was in 2009. You may not remember this, but it was at a multicultural symposium at Lewis and Clark.
Yes,
and
I remember.
You were performing indigenous music with Nelda Reyes, who was doing a story, a folk story, and really dramatic storytelling. It was great to see that. When did you start working together with each other?
Oh, wow. I think we started working together in 2008. Yeah, in 2007, we kind of like started like trying to figure out what we would like to do as far as promoting traditional music and storytelling from Mexico. Yeah, and I think we started actually performing in libraries and schools in 2008.
You did it for a couple of years, though, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, like now we still collaborate, but it's more... So we have our system, you know, like, okay, you do this, and I do this, and I do this, and you do this. But we still collaborate. I mean, we are colleagues, you know, and good friends, so which is great.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, because that performance was really memorable for me. I was wondering, when did you first start performing indigenous music?
Indigenous music, I started performing probably like 10 years ago, and that was because... Actually, all this indigenous music and all my indigenous instruments, I started collecting those when I started working with Nelda Reyes, because you know, like we both are from Mexico, and I was, oh my God, I've been playing all this Latin American music, but I haven't played my own music from my roots. So it's when I started, you know, getting more involved with indigenous music. So I went, every time I go to Mexico, I have friends, they have made clay flutes for me, and I always have this kind of like a mini workshops, like personal workshops, you know, I ask them a lot of questions, you know, okay, where are these instruments from, and we talk about the Mexican culture, the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Olmecs, and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of nice for me. But yeah, around 2008 is when I started, realizing that in Mexico, besides the folkloric music, there's indigenous music, which is a little different. So. But yeah, 2008, yeah.
Would you describe the differences so that we understand? Because the differences between traditional Mexican music and indigenous music that you're playing.
The way I always describe it is like indigenous music is, we're talking about pre-Hispanic music, a music that was already here, you know, before Europeans came to this continent. So many cultures have music already, had instruments already before Europeans came here. That for me is the indigenous music. And it's very complex, you know, like even like Native American music from the north part of this continent is very complex. Their flutes, you have to play in their tuning pentatonic scale, and you have to cover one hole and don't move that finger and play the other one. So it's very particular. In Mexico, the same, you know, we have clay flutes, we have some reed flutes and things like that. But it's very traditional. Like indigenous music is played with percussions, flutes, and singing sometimes, you know, or poetry, you know. In folkloric music is when the Europeans came, you know, they introduced the string instruments, they introduced dances, and they brought African people into this continent, which it was a very important contribution that Africans did in this continent. Just the mix of everything, you know, string instruments and with indigenous languages, with Spanish, and then Mexicans and Latin Americans took Spanish dances and they make them their own, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's folkloric music for me, you know. They're kind of like go in, you know, hand to hand, but they're different. They're different, you know. One is more, not sophisticated, but it's more, let's call it modern, you know.
So it sounds like to me from what you describe, like indigenous music in Mexico might be from Aztec roots.
Yes, or Mayan.
Pre-European. And it was more percussion, flute-based, and also more multidisciplinary with storytelling and singing, yeah, too. And it sounds like to me that the Europeans introduced, well, the Spanish in particular, introduced the guitar and introduced, you know, folk songs that they brought with them. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, basically, Europeans introduced the strings, string instruments, the violin, mandolins, and, you know, harp, guitar, of course, you know. And then Latin American people started making their own strings, instruments, which is like another world, you know. And so it's very interesting how the different influence contribute to what we have now, you know.
And African culture then also contributed more percussion, perhaps, and more folk singing. And yeah, so it sounds like it was very multicultural influences. And you can do a lot of that, right? That's your,
yeah,
that's what you do, is you combine all of that.
Yeah, it's what I do, yeah. And I like it, you know, I like it. I like to collect instruments. I don't know if you can see. Let me see. I'm going to put...
Well, you know, rather than seeing it, you might want to play some of them. I mean, just like pluck some of them so we can hear it, because this is radio.
I can play everything, and we'll need probably a couple more days, you know, so I can play all of them, you know. I have a big collection of instruments.
So one of the joys, I have to say, you know, pre-pandemic, has been, I've seen you, like, either when I go on a trip or I come back from a trip, in the airport, I've seen you playing, and I'm going, oh my gosh, there's Gerardo.
Yeah.
While I'm dragging my luggage, you know, back and forth. But it is a really joyous thing to have you playing music there. How long have you been doing that?
This is going to be my 12th year. 12 years playing. Of course, you know, when the pandemic came, the Portland airport, you know, shut down a lot of programs, you know, and music was one of them. And actually, we're going back. So some colleagues went back to the airport this month, but I'm going back in October.
Is that part of a program, like an artist in residence program?
How can I say? You know, if you audition, whatever, if the people at the airport like it, they'll bring you to the airport and play.
I did not know that. So that's so great. that you've done this for 12 years. No wonder I've seen you so many times, because I don't travel that much, but it seems like every time I did go, I would see you.
I know. Yeah. You know, I like the airport, you know, and a lot of my music, I have it composed at the airport, you know, because the airport's a great place. You know, you meet people. I can practice any idea that I have in my head. I'll just practice it there. You know, I can play it as many times as I want, you know, but yeah, the airport is a pretty good place for me. And yeah, 12 years is like, wow. Yeah.
It sure, it flies by, that's for sure. Would you mind playing a song right now?
Yeah. Let me see if my guitar is... I'm gonna play a fragment of my latest composition. It's a guitar piece. It goes like this, and I'll tell you the name in a minute.
Thank you for that, Gerardo. You just heard a song performed by Portland composer and musician Gerardo Calderon. He's part of a two-night live stream event by a collective of artists, performers, and writers called The Immigrant Story. And they're doing two nights, September 17th at 7 p.m. Gerardo's performing with his ensemble. And on September 12th at 7 p.m., you can hear five Latinx immigrant stories about what it's like to be undocumented or formerly undocumented in America. Both events are being broadcast from St. Andrew Lutheran Church in Beaverton, and it will be live streamed on YouTube and also Facebook via the Immigrant Story page on Facebook. In case you just joined us, I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio, and it's membership drive time, and KBOO is looking to increase its membership. All dollars will be matched by art supporter Ronnie S. LaCroute at the Ronnie S. LaCroute Fund. She's matching donations through the Oregon Community Foundation until September 20th, so support now at kboo.fm/give, or you can mail a contribution to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. I also have that link at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. Studio, where you can also hear a podcast of this show. Gerardo Calderon is my guest via Zoom today. And Gerardo, when you're performing on the 17th, how large is the ensemble? You know, who's in your ensemble?
Yeah, the ensemble, we are four musicians. Gisela Rodriguez playing violin and backup vocals. Carlos Antonio Uribe He's playing trumpet, harp, in an instrument called vihuela. It's a string instrument. He's an excellent musician, as well as Gisela and also Sofia Molina.
Oh, Sofia's performing.
Yeah.
Oh, so she's singing.
She's
singing. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I know her as a wonderful an actress, but, you know, yeah, I didn't know she was performing as a singer with you.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, let me tell you a little bit about how, you know, I put this together, this ensemble. When I talked to the president of Immigrant Historians, Sankar Radam, we talk about the music, we talk about the stories and everything. So once I, you know, we ended our conversation, I was thinking about this music that I want to perform at the event. So that's how I pick the musicians. You know? So I didn't randomly pick them. I was like, okay, I need this. And I called these colleagues and friends, and they were available, which is, well, wow, that's great.
What were the safety protocols in performing?
This time, you know, obviously was the, you know, face mask. And,
so people performed and sang and played with the masks on?
No. Okay, so what happened, we videotape and video record without people, without an audience. We just the film crew, the audio crew, and us. So, I mean, us, we have to play without our masks off, you know. And but the crew and everybody was using masks. And every time we took a break or something, we, you know, that was the main protocol, to use our face mask. And also we arranged the setup of the musicians, you know, a certain distance, certain way. Yeah, it worked great. It worked great.
I was just wondering what your connection was with Immigrant Story.
It, you know, like, honestly, you know, I do a lot of projects, but I never heard about this organization until they contact me.
Yeah, they're fairly new. I think they've been around for at least a year or so, and they've done a lot of talks and you know, back when everybody had events, they would do group events, public events. But I'm also wondering about when the pandemic started and quarantine was in place. You put out videos almost daily, it seemed like, on Facebook, because I heard you playing. And what was that experience like for you?
You know, like, so when the pandemic hit, you know, everybody, you know, all my engagements got canceled, everything, up until October, November. You know, I was like, okay, what am I gonna do? I didn't want to just sit down and get depressed, you know, because I'm not like that. And I said, you know, I was like, I'm going to take the best of this pandemic. So what I did, I started, you know, recording. I started going live stream on Facebook. And I always, I mean, I did it like once in a while, you know, before, because, thankfully I've been pretty busy, you know, performing and recording and, you know, going to schools and things like that. So I didn't have too much time to do other things, you know. One of them was, you know, do live stream once in a while. And I was, oh my God, I have plenty of time. So I'm going to do it. So that's why I was doing this like every other day or once a week and things like that. And also, well, you know, I realized that I have plenty of time. So I started composing again. You know, because, you know, before I was pretty busy and I didn't have time to record or compose, you know. So I decided to start composing. So taking all this time off to do something good for me, you know. And also I still go for walks in the mornings, you know. And that's beautiful. And that, I mean, that makes me kind of charge my battery, you know, going out for a walk or for a run. And so I just wanted to take advantage of this, you know. I'm reading now, you know. I just, you know, like, yeah, I see myself reading, but I never did it, you know, like read one page and fall asleep. But now I'm like, you know, reading and, you know, like sit down in the back porch and read a little bit, you know, things like that that I always wanted to do, you know, but I didn't have time before, you know, because the workload that I have, you know. So I'm taking advantage of this.
I really relate to that sitting on the porch and reading because that seems like a luxury when you're busy, 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 right? So it's really nice to be able to have that time now. And I'm wondering how, you know, if you've stayed connected with friends and relatives in Mexico and how the pandemic has affected them. I don't know. Has it been okay?
Yeah, fortunately, my family is okay, you know, taking this pandemic the best they can. And also I have friends, you know, in other parts of the world, and we talk and, you know, we kind of like always checking on everybody, you know. I'll come my good friend in Germany, and, you know, I'll check my friend in Belgium or in South America, you know. And seems to me like the people that I know, they take good care of themselves, you know. So which makes me not worry too much, you know. You know, my family the same. You know, I call my brothers, my sisters, and my nephews, and everybody. You know, I always checking on them. You know, sending a little message on WhatsApp. We have, you know, family WhatsApp family groups and things like that. But yeah, they're doing good. They're doing good. You know, like I try to stay up to date with what's going on in Mexico, especially, you know. And so every time I talk to my family in Mexico, they'll put me, you know, up to date. You know, this is going on here. This is going on in other part of Mexico. But yeah, so everybody's doing good, and.
Well, that's good to hear, and I'm glad to hear that. It's, you know, hopefully everybody stays healthy, right? So we're running out of time, but I'd like to hear you play one more time if you'd be willing.
So I'm gonna play this pan flute. It's made out of bamboo,
Oh, wonderful.
and I like to play this one because it's a pentatonic scale, and so I don't have to think too much, you know, to play anything. So I'm gonna improvise, and pentatonic scale is like good for that, you know. Okay, so this is, no, I'm not gonna improvise. I'm gonna play a song that I composed.
Thank you for doing that. What do you have a name for that piece that you just did?
The song that I, well, actually, well, the first song that I play on my guitar, it's called Ariadna. The song that I just play, it's called Olas, which means waves. Originally, I composed this song for a small choir ensemble. So with the choir, is, you know, it's a chant, you know. So it's like the waves, you know, and that's the way I compose it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, Gerardo Calderon, thank you so much for playing live with us today via Zoom. And so great to finally talk with you at length, you know, instead of passing by and watching your performances. You stay well, okay? It's a joy. On September 17th at 7 p.m., Gerardo is performing with his ensemble at 7 p.m. With Sofia Molina. I'm very excited about that. We'll be streamed on Facebook via the Immigrant Story page. And a reminder that it's also on Facebook as well as YouTube. And on September 12th at 7 p.m., also five Latinx immigrant storytellers about what it's like to be undocumented or formerly undocumented in America, and that's by The Immigrant Story. That's it for Stage and Studio. Hear the show again at stageandstudio.org or kboot.fm/stageandstudio. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter and studio. Until next time, I'm Dimay Roberts. We're going out with more music by Portland composer-musician Gerardo Calderon. And you can hear his music at gcgartsproduction.com.